All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Rundown, another special edition of Meme Coin Mania. We've got Brian with us in the house. And if you're just tuning in for the replay, we've got an awesome episode covering all things macro, why the volatility is happening in the crypto markets right now, plus a lot of the underneath the hood bullish news that you need to know from the government leaning more onto the blockchain. We think Solana is at a key resistance point. You're going to want to see that so you can see where altcoin season might be heading. And then, of course, we have an absolute buffet of meme news that Brian is bringing us just to give us the updates of the calls that he's had, all the success that he's had, what he's eyeing up now, and all the momentum in the markets in the meme coin and NFT space. Absolute pleasure to be able to have Brian join me today. Brian, it's a special way to end the week because we started the week on Sunday. Me and you had lunch together in person out in Denver. It was a fantastic day. We hit the golf simulator. We had an awesome lunch. You dropped me off at the airport. And an absolute stand-up guy. He took care of the bill, folks, and that's why you're going to want to listen to what Brian has to say, because let me tell you, those picks must be hitting because that golf simulator was not cheap. What's going on, Brian? Good to see you online, but it was better to see you in person on Sunday.
Let me lay something out here for everybody. One thing I realized about meeting TiVo in person, we've met a few times in person, but we haven't really done a lot of sports together. This guy is one of the most athletic people you'll run into your entire life. He was like, yeah, I haven't played golf in years. Just pure in golf balls, 250 straight as an arrow. I play golf every weekend and he beat me in this golf simulator. And then we had a whole bunch of other sorts of games, playing hockey, throwing footballs. The guy had some silky mitts out there. I have to say, super impressed with that athletic skill, my guy.
I appreciate it. Listen, when it comes to golf, that clearly was not regulation play on the simulator, so I'm sure you'd take me for my shirt if we were out in the real links. But, you know, once an athlete, always an athlete. I'll tell you this, Brian, people forget that I rode the bench on a Division I football team. So got those quick hips, quick hands, and we like to have fun. But I think my athletic ability never made it past the college bench, and now I am, again, a face for radio, but we do appreciate everybody also joining us on YouTube. Welcome to everybody in the chat. If you're here, tell us what your name is. Tell us where you're from. And if you're new, consider subscribing. Check the bottom right. You'll see our logo. Give it a click. Give it a thumbs up. Turn on notifications so you don't miss all the crypto alpha that we dish out each and every week. But we had a great episode, two episodes this week with Brendan earlier, Brian. We were covering the news. There's a couple things we might double take on to get your take. But overall, we kind of woke up to a little volatile market today. The market's kind of rolling over just a smidge. I'm going to bring up CoinMarketCap so we can just kind of go through the price action here. And as you guys can see, we actually did cover the Fear Greed Index the other day, kind of hovering around there on that back end of neutral. And then again, Bitcoin on the week, you see here, 7 days. Let me see if I can zoom in for everybody so it'll get us a better look. There we go. 7 days, we got 7% down, 24 hours down 4%. Ethereum, same thing, 4% down. XRP taking a little bit of a breather at 5% down today. Good to see Tether staying strong there at even. Always good when the stable coins are stable. And then, Doge down 5. So a little bit of red in the market. Chainlink, we talked about the other day. Chainlink had that bullish news of working with the government. And just overall, we're seeing a little bit of a pullback. But what we like to say here is volatility is really opportunity. Again, if you're somebody that can plan your trades and trade your plan, this is the kind of market where you really do want to be listening to this show and you want to be diving into the research because this is where the opportunity is, right? It's not, obviously not every dip is the one to hammer it and put it all in. But at the same time, if you do have that plan and you're eyeing certain projects that you're thinking about investing in, this is the time where you gather the information. It's not when we're doing the shows and telling you about the 5 or 10X that they've won, right? The research and the work was done before that. So if you're here, you're 100% in the right place. We've got It's Me, Sherelle. Welcome, Sherelle. One Vision Transition, Debbie. Ooh, Debbie from Santa Barbara. I love Santa Barbara, Debbie. I'll be out there later in the fall. And so we got Albert the Great in as well. It's going to be a fun Friday afternoon, Brian. The markets are a little red. Can you just give us, just to hand you off the reins and give us kind of your market view for the week with the price action today?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a fake out last night. It looked like we were recovering from some of the bleeding that we've seen over the week. But volatility isn't necessarily a bad thing. You and I were talking about this before the show. That's why we're in these markets. There's always major opportunities, and following the volatility isn't a bad thing at the end of the day, because this is one of the most bullish periods, in my opinion, to be paying attention to the crypto market. That's why you should be checking out our podcast. You should be following, chatting it up with us, because absolutely these prices aren't going to stay depressed forever. And it's healthy. Markets pull back, they correct, and it just gives you a better opportunity to size your position or dollar cost average in. I mean, everybody feels like they missed the boat when Bitcoin's clipping at all-time highs at 125,000. Oh, did I miss it? Well, now there's a chance. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. I'm a meme coin guy. I love NFTs, any speculative assets, but I just want to reinforce to everyone, the majors, the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, the Solanas of the world, everyone should have those in your portfolio, and that should make up the majority of your portfolio. It's not financial advice, but Bitcoin is digital gold. It is an absolute killer asset. We have the US government stockpiling it. We have countries, companies, millionaires, billionaires absolutely putting it on balance sheets. So it's sitting at a correction over the week at 7-8%. It feels like an opportunity to me. And everyone should be dollar cost average again, holding those, because in my opinion, the price is going to be a lot higher in a year or two than it is right now. And of course, the market has a pullback. I'm definitely seeing that. And the time frame right now is one of the worst time frames as well for the crypto market. I joke with the boys at Crypto 101 about the ghost month. It's like the seventh lunar phase. A few of my friends, like Tyler, talk about it all the time. It's you know, a time when it's in the Asian culture when people, you know, typically don't trade. But right now, it's a slow time. I do believe, and this is, again, not financial advice. This is a guy on the internet giving his personal opinion. We're going to hit all-time highs for Bitcoin probably November, December, the end of this year. So we're looking at these prices right now. It's also $108,000 for one Bitcoin. I mean, just a few months ago, we were at like 70 and 80. So I feel great about where the market is right now. This is a natural pullback. I know everyone on crypto Twitter's, you know, dooming and glooming and calling like the cycle top. I swear we hear that every 6 weeks, and then we come back harder than ever. So personally, long story short, I'm not that concerned, but we have seen some strength in Solana as well recently.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in 2 clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.
Yeah, 100%. We can pull that up. Again, just a quick disclaimer, as Brian said, you know, just two guys trying to educate you, talking about crypto here on the YouTube. We love doing it with you, but it's not personal financial advice. We are not personal financial advisors. So, you know, you want to do your own research before you make any decisions. But we hope to educate you and have a lot of fun in the chat. Before we move on to Solana, I gotta point this out. Dan from Florida says hi, and Ahmad from South Africa. That kind of gets me excited on a Friday afternoon. We have our friends from South Africa tuning in. That's super special. But when it comes to Solana, and just to kind of tee this up, Brian, and then I'm going to toss it to you. We've actually been talking about this on the rundown since we've last had you. Dare I throw it out there? Dare I do it? Little pat on the back for myself. Credit to me. I've been touting this like kind of narrative shift because we've talked about how obviously Tom Lee has ran this Solana narrative with BitMine and the next Ethereum treasury. And again, it's not, I did end up seeing it over the last couple of weeks as well. This new narrative of, again, whatever's the bell of the ball, whatever's the top dog. We got to remember when Bitcoin was outperforming everybody and Ethereum was dead. And now Ethereum and Solana was running and Ethereum was dead. Now Ethereum's going to the moon. It's going to, you know, 15K ETH by the end of the year. And so people are mad that Solana's not performing. And there's just that thesis of, you know, I don't think Solana's going anywhere. I know you don't think Solana's going anywhere. And it will come back and have its day in the sun. And you got to position yourself for when that happens if you believe in that thesis. Because at the end of the day, what we saw happen with Ethereum was, okay, we had some big Wall Street people back it. It got some price action. Then the announcement comes that we're doing an Ethereum treasury company. And then then the Ethereum treasury company goes out, Sharplink and BitMine just start buying and buying and buying. And in that small, it's a small window, right? It's like 2-4 weeks tops. You just see the price action roll because all this money's flowing into it. And there's a similar, or there could be, again, nothing's ever guaranteed, but there could be a similar setup for Solana where, you know, if these ETFs get passed, just like Ethereum, remember the Ethereum ETFs, and we've shown this on the show, the charts 1,000 times, how the Ethereum ETFs were basically trending like this and then shoop, hockey stick. And so when these Sol ETFs finally get approved, and then there's going to be, inevitably, there's going to be some wild Solana treasury company conversion on the stock market. There's going to be one or two, would be my bet. And it's the same, it's kind of the same playbook. So again, it's not any personal financial advice at all. I can just kind of see Solana coming back for its day in the sun. So we'll switch here, just kind of bring up this chart. Brian, if you kind of wanted to talk through what you see here on the chart and then kind of break down what I teed you up for. I know you kind of agree of what could come Solana's way in the coming months to the next year.
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish about Solana overall. And you hit the nail on the head, TiVo, is that we're seeing the reason Bitcoin and Ethereum have had this recent surge is there's major ETFs and treasury companies actually gobbling up bags left and right. And we haven't seen a Solana ETF. We've heard news, BlackRock wants one, BlackRock's not doesn't want one. In my opinion, there's going to be a Solana ETF and all the major players are going to be in this ETF and it's going to create a tremendous amount of buy pressure and Solana's going to go to the moon. So that's one catalyst there for Solana to do really well. Kind of in this chart, we're at a key resistance. So this is a couple of days ago, a little bit more of a key resistance. But if we break out, it could be the next darling of this altcoin run. We'll have to watch Solana closely. What's it at right now on the week? It's still down about, no, it's actually up on the week. So it's one of the few up on the week of the past. Yeah, 3%, 202, over 200 always feels like a great world. But I think with the treasury companies adding Solana to their treasuries, we have DFDV, who's buying, I think, 100 million in Solana. We have rumors out there, not even rumors, we have confirmations that these treasury companies are going to buy about 1 billion total worth of Solana. And when you compare the market cap of Solana, which is about, what, five times smaller than Ethereum and much smaller than Bitcoin, $1 billion worth of Solana is absolutely massive. So I think with treasury companies investigating Solana, I think more and more are going to come out and start buying it. I think the Solana ETFs are going to create a tremendous amount of pressure on the price, and it's going to take off. And that's what we've seen with Bitcoin and Ethereum, obviously, is that the ETFs are, you know, gobbling up a lot of the open Bitcoin and Ethereum. Tom Lee's putting in major buys. We're going to see the exact same thing happen with Solana. Timeline on that's to be determined.
Yeah, and then you brought this chart of TVL at all-time highs. Can you walk through the good people of Crypt Nation, what we're looking at here?
Yeah, this is just the TVL of DeFi with Solana. It's kind of going under-noticed here. You can see just throughout the years, it was at an all-time high in 2022, kind of bottomed out in 2023. And since 2024, it's just been climbing up steadily and now getting back to all-time highs. So it just goes to show that this DeFi sector of Solana is picking up as well, and it's going to continue to pick up. The Ethereum DeFi sector is going to continue to pick up. The Solana sector of DeFi. DeFi is really becoming something we're hearing more and more about every single day, and it feels like a DeFi season is definitely on the horizon, and Solana's, you know, according to this chart, is, you know, right in the thick of it.
Yeah, 100%. I know what kind of we were talking pre-show here that, you know, you feel that, you know, you kind of like where Bitcoin's at. You're not afraid of the pullback there. I know you have a chart from Bob kind of teeing us up to where, you know, Bitcoin's been trading a little bit. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, big game Bob. I'm a big fan of Bob Lucas, so I think he's an interesting follow at the end of the day. He gets trolled every once in a while. He put a tweet out just the other day. He's like, hey, if we go this way, we're going to go down. If we go this way, we're going to go up. So in the comments, everyone was like, so you're telling us you're going to go up or down, eh, Bob? But he's usually pretty a pretty good spot on person talking about cycles. And what he's saying here is that he doesn't see a lot wrong with the current weakness that we're seeing in Bitcoin. It's just part of the ebbs and flows. And we're having a little bit declining week. We're having a little bit of reset. He says there's no way to know how well this is going to, you know, cut. Says alts are holding up there. But the reason I kind of post this is he's usually pretty spot on with points of the market. And it aligns with my thinking as well. I really don't know why we're having this pullback. There's no like real fundamental reason why. Bitcoin's doing great. We got the pro administration, we got treasuries, we got ETF inflows. Everything's lining up for an absolute to prove that we're still in a bull run. And I think we're not even in the thick of it. I think the bull run's yet to really get going. So to just have a pullback here just feels like we're having a pullback because it's a cool month, and probably because it's ghost month.
Yeah, like the ghost month of everybody getting their last couple weeks of vacation in August. Special shout out here to GK27. Hello from Tampa. Huge fan. You got to love when a local Tampite is in the chat box there. I wonder if his name's Grant, because that would be my guess for somebody named G. But I think that when it comes to Bitcoin, kind of you're sharing your bullish sentiment, I thought this was really funny to see the Bitcoin price prediction for JP Morgan. JP Morgan, of all people, says that Bitcoin is undervalued. Will Wall Street run it next? And I know we've talked about this a lot on the program if you listen to this before, but it's always such a fun kind of thought process to walk through. And I'm pulling something up here when you see JP Morgan, and we all know who the head of JP Morgan is. It's Jamie Dimon. And Jamie Dimon has just absolutely gotten leapfrogged by Bitcoin time after time after time, calling it a pet rock, saying that it's only for criminals, it's going to go to zero, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's so funny to just, you know, you always want to do what other people do, not necessarily what they say. And, you know, all the times that Jamie Dimon's talked down about Bitcoin, but continuously his analysts have come out and talked positively in Bitcoin and the price action and where it could go and just the usage overall of blockchain, obviously, with, you know, all these big banks. We talked about it on the show the other day, how these banks are just trying to set up these rails for stablecoins to get more yield, but not give it back to the people. And they're trying the banking, the ABA, the American Banking Association, is trying to block this stablecoin yield from getting back to the consumer, which, again, I went on a big rant on that, so I won't do that again. But it's just sad kind of to see that. Any thoughts on JP Morgan kind of changing their tune there?
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Dimon's probably the most famous banker out there. And a lot of people in the banking world look at him like he's the next god. And for good reason. He's done well with JP Morgan. He's extremely well known. And he's not a big fan of Bitcoin because it was literally for a long time a direct threat to everything that he was building. Now Bitcoin is, you know, becoming more regulated, is being embraced by the administration. I can go on and on. We talk about it all the time. And he's starting to change his tune. And for good reason. And I think this is a great meme right here. He's getting leapfrogged from Bitcoin, but he's not going to let it get past him. And now they're saying, what was the headline here? That they believe that it's a better buy than gold. I put this, it's undervalued compared to gold. And JP Morgan's an absolute gold bull too. So that just goes to show you that the big bankers, the big players out there are starting to look at Bitcoin even closer. And they're trying to buy your bags. Don't get flushed out. This is some good opportunities. It is the best time right now to start be paying attention to the crypto market because it's a little bit down. It's a little bit volatile. People are calling the top. It's not the top. And we're going to probably rip into the fall and it's going to be euphoric. And then we could start talking about being scared of the top, you know, when everybody's shopping for Lambos. But right now it is not.
It's a great point of, you know, there's local tops, there's cycle tops, there's market tops, and then there's bubbles. And I thought that the fact that when you start talking about bubbles, and specifically this week, and we covered it earlier, is the NVIDIA earnings. So if you're interested in hearing Brendan and I's take about the NVIDIA earnings, you know, check out the show before this one with him. But in the sense of this AI trade that's really fueled, you know, the continuous movement of the stock market, no doubt. I think that's basically undeniable at this point, the CapEx into all these companies investing in AI, and obviously NVIDIA leading the forefront of that. You know, there's been a lot of liquidity in the market, and that's obviously helped the crypto markets as well. But there's somebody that we've mentioned on the show countless times, Tom Lee, and we're always kind of bull posting Tom Lee, especially when he talks about Bitcoin and then more recently Ethereum. But I did find this clip of Tom talking about a market bubble. And, you know, as somebody that tries to really paint the whole picture, as much as we've talked about Tom Lee and played his clips, I think this one's actually might be the most important one we've ever shown, because it's actually telling you about a past call that he made where he wasn't bullish. So you can, and he talks about how he really staked his reputation on this call. So it's a 2-minute clip. It's a little long, but I think it's great for not only the history of this specific analyst that the crypto markets like to track, but I think it's a really important story for market tops as a whole and how people look at them. So let's tune in for 2 minutes and then we can break it down.
In 99, when I was a technology analyst and covering wireless, and that was living history of a bubble that really was a lifetime bubble. Mm-hmm. I think if people weren't in that period, it was 5 years where literally if someone said buy the stock, it could go up 20% in a week, you know, and then it would still keep going up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really a different era than anything we've seen today. But in 99, it was clear to me that we were in a bubble. And I was only in my 20s. But I was at an investment bank, and they kept telling me, Tom, there's this $5 billion IPO, and we need to be the book runner on this deal. So you need to tell them we're going to recommend this stock. And I said, there's no way. I can't. I mean, this business model makes no sense. And so I was not popular with the investment bank, but I passed on so many deals that wanted to do multi-billion dollar IPOs that would have been hundreds of millions of dollars of fees for the bank. And I would have made tens of millions of dollars because at that time they were paying you for your IPOs. So I with my own reputation at stake, I avoided the implosion. As you know, when that telecom internet bubble burst, many people's reputations got destroyed. Mm-hmm. Mine actually rose. I was still famous as a wireless analyst, but then I got promoted to be a strategist because I avoided all of that carnage. So if someone's asking me if what I know what a top looks like, by the way, I also had a very famous short, a sell rating on a stock during that era that almost destroyed my career because the company was so angry at my not recommending them that they even complained to the SEC. And my company at the time, it was written up in the journal so someone can look it up.
I'm going to. Maybe we won't add it in the show notes, but I'm going to look it up.
I don't want to name the company but they were so, apparently the CFO said he'd wake up angry and yelling about me mm-hmm. because I wasn't recommending a stock. So there's enormous pressure and I still kept a sell rating. So
I really saw that today and I thought that was number one, obviously a fascinating story and a fascinating clip from, I believe that's Wilford Frost's podcast. Good analyst, both in the New York market back in the day, and I believe he's over in London now back home. But just that story kind of was interesting because everybody kind of, rightfully so, either kind of jabs Tom in a fun way or sometimes negatively that he's just a permable and he's just always bullish and this and that. We've talked about how, you know, when Bitcoin was 2K, he said you need 1% to Bitcoin and all that stuff. But, you know, I guess I was a little too young back in the 90s to be reading the financial papers and the Wall Street Journal every day and be following the story that Tom was saying. But, you know, that was the time where everybody was bullish and you were printing money hand over fist. You know, there's plenty of documentaries you can go and watch and just any company just had to put a .com and they could get, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars of funding and trade on the stock market at a high valuation that obviously, you know, didn't work out on the .com bubble. But it's interesting that to learn about that's how he looks at cycle tops and he feels like an honest guy to me. And I feel like if he didn't believe in something, he wouldn't be touting it as much as he does, because as much as he's a veteran, he's not on the back nine of his career yet. He's still a younger guy with a bright future. So I didn't know. What did you take anything away from that clip, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like Tom Lee woke up from that bed that he keeps in his office right before he got on that interview. But I mean, he's it's okay to be bearish when it's the appropriate time to be bearish or when you really feel like the top's in. We've all kind of seen it in certain, when we look back in retrospect and we're like, oh man, the signs were there. We were too euphoric to even see it. And so it takes it away that he'll be bearish when it's time to be bearish. But right now he is not bearish in the crypto market. And I feel like a permable a lot of the time too. But I can get bearish when fundamentally something looks like we should be bearish, like FTX. Like when FTX went down, TiVo, I was kind of scared. Meaning like, I was like, man, this is a bad look for crypto because a centralized exchange, a lot of trust. But in the long run, that made us regulate exchanges more, makes us audit exchanges more. It's healthy for the market. But when FTX happened, I was in the thick of the crypto market. I was like, this is not what I want to see. If like Bitcoin's code breaks, probably turn a little bit of bearish, you know? But none of those things are happening. None of those things have been proven to happen right now. And we just keep reiterating it more and more. This administration is supporting Bitcoin. We're putting, you know, the GDP on blockchain. We're embracing Chainlink and Python and all sorts of blockchains. Solana, we got Trump family making millions on crypto for good reason because they believe in it. This is what I was talking about here. The U.S. Department of Commerce is putting important economic data like the GDP on 9 different blockchains, meaning Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. And this is just another point to show that the United States is moving towards a more crypto-centric world, utilizing blockchain in a lot of the ways it should be used. It's bullish for the entire market. We can actually talk about prediction markets a little bit later in the show. I'm a big fan of prediction markets. I think there's an edge there for people that want to go down that way. But this is even interesting for prediction markets because now they have a whole bunch of source of data that's verifiable, that's open source on blockchains that they can make predictions. So we're just seeing the complete, it's almost surprising how fast we're moving. And I don't think the market is moving in the correct way for how bullish I think things are starting to get.
Yeah, and it's basically the election was such a turning point because you went from an administration with Gary Gensler and the last administration that was, you know, Gary Gensler clearly anti-crypto, and the administration, maybe you could argue indifferent, but, you know, not really for by any means. And then now, except for the pictures of all those senators and congresspeople with Sam Bankman-Fried, but that's another episode. And then now you're seeing stuff like you just said, we're moving data on chain. GDP data is going on chain. The CFTC is looking to open the U.S. markets to crypto exchanges. That could be a huge win for Binance and all those other exchanges, right, Brian, that you needed a VPN to, you know, back in the day, you would try and hack your way into a VPN to get into access to these exchanges, which, you know, had its own risks. And now kind of, again, this is a crypto economy that this administration is trying to open up with all this new legislation that just, you know, is going at a breakneck speed in the first year. And again, that's why there's shows like this where, you know, if you're tuning in every week, we try to bring you as much information as we can. We're doing 2-3 episodes a week that are going up to, you know, an hour just because there's so much information. So again, if you guys are tuning in and you're new, please, I'm asking you if you could just give the video a like, give it a thumbs up, and then hit the subscribe button, which is our logo in the bottom right. It's just my ask to you. All this stuff that we do is free for you, and it really helps us keep the podcast going and get those awesome guests that Bryce and Brendan interview each week as well. So give us a like. Please subscribe. We really appreciate it. But Brian, with this news, what are you the most excited about, and which exchanges are you keeping an eye on that might give us some access?
Yeah, I think Binance is a really key one because they were moving a lot offshore. The Gary Gensler, you nailed it. That previous SEC head was stopping a lot of these crypto companies from just growing and developing. And essentially what this is saying is that they're going to give framework for these crypto exchanges and crypto companies to come back into the United States. So obviously the CFTC wants these companies, the SEC wants these companies building in the United States for good reason. That's smart. It is. I am not the smartest guy in the room, but that is a very smart thing for the United States to be doing, is to be embracing these crypto companies because it is the future. And you're right, no more VPNs. Crypto bros like myself that go on these different exchanges and or go on these different sites and I need VPNs. It's annoying. You're not doing anything illegal. You just want to buy crypto, you know, or look at crypto and exchanges. I think in the next few months, this is all going to go away. We're not going to be using VPNs for certain sites. People are going to start building, and we're going to see tons of jobs in the crypto sector. We're going to see even more progression where blockchain is being utilized in real estate, in voting, not just the financial markets. And all of this, all of these things are going to point back to just Bitcoin in the crypto market and be a bull case for it.
Yeah, and I think it's a natural progression when the administration is clearly bullish on everything crypto that we're seeing the news come out, like the next couple topics here. Again, we try not to be political on the show. Again, this is just kind of the news, and we're trying to cover it and give you guys as much alpha as we can. So it kind of is what it is. But Crowcoin partnering with the Trump family. And looking to maybe create a treasury and all that stuff. So Brian, what did you see here? I didn't know if you wanted to play some of the video. It is 4 minutes, so I didn't know if there was a part we wanted to play or if you just wanted to talk about the topic in general.
No, I mean, this. I just threw this on the sheet, really, that because it's breaking down that, you know, the Trump family is heavily involved, or Trump media is heavily involved in a lot of different crypto projects. I think, where did I write it down here? Yeah, don't play that video. But Trump media firm is setting up a $1 billion digital asset. They're planning on purchasing the media about $105 million worth of Crow, while Crypto.com, of course, is going to invest $50 million in Trump media shares. So there's a little scratch my back, scratch yours. On both sides, there is a world here where I want crypto to be bipartisan, and with the Trump family just making money and deals hand over fist, which I don't blame them. There is a world where I don't want like the other side to be like salty at crypto because of what Trump and the family is doing. I don't think it's getting there, but again, that's not something we need to be really concerned with right now. The administration's in place right now. There's not going to be a bunch, even if Trump or the Republicans don't hold the White House seat in the next election, I don't think you're going to be unraveling a lot of these moves they're making. Crypto's here to stay. Blockchain's here to stay. And they're pushing forward. Now, but yeah, as you can see, crypto.com, anybody that has the CRO token, hats off to you. If you had that credit card where you're earning CRO, that thing is nothing but a rocket ship right now.
Yeah, that was big news. And I personally, you know, full disclosure, don't have any CRO. And I was just getting unlimited DMs, like people in the comments and YouTube were asking about it. People on X were commenting. I'm posting memes and having fun, and people are just like, hey, what about CRO? Are you on CRO? So, I mean, it got the waves rolling for sure. But that, scratch my back, we'll scratch yours isn't a bad move. And then, again, we've had the CEO of Canary Capital on the show recently. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go check out that episode with the CEO of Canary Capital, because Bryce did an amazing interview with him. And they're, you know, Canary Capital is always shooting their shot. We talked about, and we'll talk about Pengu later in the show as well, but they have the Pengu ETF filing. They just filed an S-1 for a Trump ETF. Again, the Trump token from the meme coin. It's wild what's going on with these filings and all the different ETFs from top to bottom. Obviously, we think, the blue chips and the Ethereums, and hoping that the Ethereums and the Solanas of the world get staking. But you can go down the list and name your token and they're kind of, there's filings for these ETFs. It's getting crazy. This is a one-off as of now, but it's also a strategic, move in the sense, kind of like a CRO move, like, oh, okay, Canary Capital is trying to file for this Trump ETF. Obviously, you know, is the SEC not going to approve that, number one? And then is Canary Capital going to be on the forefront of being the only offering in the traditional markets to be able to get you the token? And then worst case scenario, it puts you in good graces. Maybe you get a phone call into the Oval Office and somebody's going to pick up for you. So I think it's a great play overall, just in general of a marketing play for Canary Capital as of now. But any thoughts on, you know, just the endless flow of these ETFs, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, the ETFs are interesting because if you're like really filthy rich, TiVo, we're talking like hundreds of millions, tens of millions, billions of dollars, you might not feel comfortable going on Coinbase, a new exchange, even though it's like, you know, FDIC registered and everything like that. You might not feel comfortable or sending it to a private ledger or a wallet or a multi-sig wallet. You've been buying stocks your whole life. You just want to call your broker and be like, buy me that Bitcoin or buy me that Ethereum. That's why it's very interesting. A lot of this money's flowing that way. So Canary Capital getting a little bit off the beaten path, integrating Trump, integrating Pengu, Dogecoin, Chainlink, all these XRP. I'm not an XRP guy, but I see a path why it makes sense to put it as an ETF, because there's a lot of money that just likes to transact that way. And they're going to continue to transact that way. And we saw what it did for Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I'm telling you, we're going to see what it does for Solana when that ETF gets approved eventually. So I like the move by Canary Capital. And it's a good move. You know, you probably want to incorporate the president's coin into your ETF if you want to get a signature on it.
Couldn't agree more. Just a transition here for everybody that's still with us, and we appreciate it. One more call. Please like and subscribe. I already kind of pitched that once, but if you haven't yet and you're new, give it a like, give it a subscribe. And we're going to transition ourselves into this meme coin conversation. And again, as knowledgeable as Brian is for the entire crypto markets, from the macro down to kind of where we're transitioning this to the meme coins, and he's in the trenches and he is doing the research along with Joe, right? Brian and Joe and their Momentum Moneymakers community. This is going to be the specific. This is, you know, why you tune in to get this alpha from the NFT and meme coin markets. If it's something that you've enjoyed through this next part of this next segment, I did put a link. It's going to be in the description. If you go down in the first description, the first link in the description is a link to Brian and Joe's private community. So again, if this meme coin stuff and the people that have listened before have seen all the success that they've given with a ton of calls over the times that they've been on the show, if you want the first access to that, it is something that we offer. Obviously, everything else is completely free, but please check out that link below to get more information if you are interested. And one of those amazing calls, which is why I put it at the top of the sheet, because I followed I jumped in, and by God, what a call it was the Pengu token. Buying the Pengu token at the bottom was an easy, easy call for me after digesting Brian and Joe's research over the last year, basically being Pudgy Penguin bullish and Pengu bullish for the token. So I really appreciated that call personally. And that's the type of information you get. These guys were giving it out when people thought Pudgy Penguin was dead, Brian. Everybody's like, it's over. Pudgy Penguin's dead. Pengu, the token, it was a fail. It dropped. The floor went out under it. But you guys didn't tell us that. You said that this is a screaming buy at these levels because of the community, because of the leadership from Luka Nets. And at this weekend, the next magic rabbit that Luka Nets pulls out of the Pudgy Penguin hat, let's say this, the next magic rabbit that he pulls out of the igloo, let's stay on brand, is the Pengu race car. The official partnership with NASCAR has taken yet another step. We've talked about it before on the show, being partners with NASCAR. Not only NASCAR, they have a Pengu car. There is a legit Stenhouse Jr. will be driving the Pudgy Penguin 47 this weekend down in Darlington. If you want to talk about excitement from the Chevrolet, the Pudgy Penguin team, and the NASCAR community, I almost personally was like, do I need to go to Darlington this weekend and then root on this race and buy some tickets? I was super fired up to see this, Brian, and I have a friend that works in NASCAR. He's an absolute beaut of a gentleman, and I was kind of filling him in on what Pudgy Penguin was, and he's as excited as well. So what are you feeling this weekend? And are you going to maybe hit the prediction markets and put a little money on Pudgy Penguin to win?
47's my number this weekend, I'll tell you that much. We're pulling for the 47 car. It's a good looking car, man. I mean, that little penguin on there fits well. I think Pudgy Penguins resonates with, you know, just the normal person very nicely. Luka absolutely has been smashing it with everything from the NFT projects. We got ETF filings with the Pengu token. It is a premier. I don't even want to call it a meme coin anymore. It's like meme coin plus. It's down a little bit recently because the entire market's getting waxed, but it looks like a strong buying opportunity. Not financial advice. Don't go that way on me, but it looks like a good opportunity if you miss some of the upswings because they're just continuing to produce. These founders have a lot of money, have a lot of resources, have a lot of partnerships and connections, and we're seeing it develop every single day. Because there's a 5, 10, 15% dip in price doesn't mean they're not going to sign off on this NASCAR or the next million toys that are sold in Walmart or Amazon. This is becoming a brand. It's not like a Disney, but if you told me 10, 15 years from now that they're rivaling like a Disney character type vibe, I wouldn't deny it because my son, who's 4 years old, went to Walmart recently and grabbed a Pudgy Penguin toy and was like, I want this. And it's not because like he knows a lot about Pudgy Penguins and crypto. And I was like, why do you want it? He's like, because it's so cool, and ran off with it. And I was like, well, we're definitely buying this. So it's resonating with a lot of people. NASCAR is a huge brand. Fans across the freaking globe. People are going to see this Pudgy Penguin car. It's going to resonate with them. They're going to look at Pengu. It's just the tip of the iceberg, literally, no pun intended, but tip of the iceberg of where we're going.
Yeah, I'm definitely drinking the Pudgy Penguin Kool-Aid. And again, it's all credit to your guys' research. And you know, I don't think it's something, especially when you're learning from other people, it's not necessarily the first time you hear it, but it's the second, the third, the fourth time that you really digest it. And it was with your guidance for Brian and Joe that led me to be a full-blown Pengu, full-blown Pudgy. And we've got people, and we got Fitz. Gotta love seeing Fitz is back here. David Robinson from the UK. Gotta love that. Chase King's big moves, my boy. And then we did have somebody begging for some alpha. So One Vision Transition, they're saying, Brian, please throw us a bone here. Just throw us a bone on a Friday. We're trying to get some alpha. And I think this is kind of producer-wise why I strategized the Pengu right into this now. So we talked about Luka Nets, who's the creator and, you know, I don't know what you want to call him, the CEO, the head Pengu, the leader of the igloo. And they are talking about launching Abstract Chain. And again, none of this is personal financial advice. I just know that Abstract Chain is something that you and Joe are really deep diving into research, and you keep giving a lot of what you're finding into the community and into your reports. So I thought we could listen to Luka talk about Abstract Chain and kind of his vision on how to distribute the value of it, because I think it's important, again, to hear from the creators. And then I wanted to get your update on Abstract Chain. What are you seeing? So let's take a listen to Luka.
I think the one thing that I would change that we will do differently for abstract is you better be aligned sooner rather than later, right? Like, I felt really dirty when guys were just buying a day before, making a ton of money, dumping everything. I felt really cheated. I felt like people were, like, I had a girlfriend and she was cheating on me right in front of my face. If you believe in this, if you believe in abstract, if you want all the rewards that come with this ecosystem, you better be in it now. Don't be in it a day before. It's not going to work out well for you. And I'm not going to talk about it either. Like, I'm just going to let these interviews be proof. So when everyone's crying about it, you know, the day of, and they're mad that I didn't tell them 3 weeks prior, it's not going to matter to me. I'm not going to care because they're grifting, right? They're just grifting for themselves. They don't care about being a part of the community. They don't care about the success. I only have the interest now in rewarding real holders, real believers. I have no interest in giving opportunist grifters a quick win.
I think, you know, that's a good summary from the Pudgy Penguin reward of giving out the Pengu for Pudgy Penguin holders. Maybe there were some people who were quick trading Pudgies to be able to get that Pengu drop. You would know more than me what he specifically might be talking about for the Pudgy Penguin community. But what are your thoughts around, you know, abstract chain? What are you hearing? And, you know, if you were interested in being early, how would you might maybe be thinking about that?
All right, this is, you want some alpha? I'll give you some alpha. Here we go. Abstract Chain has a TGE. It's pretty widely known that everything, it's a token generation event, and you get XP points every week by just going around on Abstract Chain and doing stuff. If that's trading meme coins on Abstract, if that's buying NFTs, if that's playing their free games on there, you earn XP points. I've been reiterating, if you're part of Momentum Moneymakers, you know, because every single week I've been given calls for certain meme coins within their community that I like. I actually really like the meme coins in the Abstract Chain because it's not as, there's not as much crap as what there is with in Solana world. You know, I love Solana, meme coins are fire over there, but there's quick traders, people in and out, rugs left and right. A lot of these abstract meme coins are somewhat more vetted. They've been around for, you know, months and months, and they're doing stuff and they're integrating with Abstract. And you get XP points when you buy and sell and trade meme coins on their platform. Same with the NFTs. If you buy some Abstract NFTs, you get this XP points. If you go over there and you play their free games, there's like Roach Racing, there's On-Chain Heroes, there's Myriad, which is a killer prediction market. Shout out to the boys at Myriad because I'm a big fan of it. I like prediction markets, we could talk about, but Myriad is a great prediction market. It actually, you need a VPN if you want to use the USDC version of it or be outside of the United States. I know there's some people outside the United States. You can wager with money, but they have a point system. You go in there, you collect points every single day. You go in and you can put predictions on with their points. Little alpha here, Myriad is rumored in, it's a 99.9% rumor that it's going to go down. They're going to have a token drop. So whenever you use these free points you get on Myriad, you put prediction in using these points, you're getting opportunities that you're going to get an airdrop with Myriad when their token comes out. In addition to that, it's on the Abstract blockchain. So you're earning XP points on the Abstract blockchain where when their TGE event happens, you're going to get an Abstract airdrop. It's literally a double farm. So check out the Abstract chain. Honestly, if I had like only a few thousand bucks or something that I wanted to like speculate with, again, buy the stables. You need Bitcoin in your holdings. You need Ethereum in your holdings. You know, take care of your family. Not financial advice, but if I had a few hundred bucks, a few thousand bucks, I'd be poking around on Abstract a lot because I think the TGE event's going to be interesting. I think Lucas Vision's interesting. They haven't confirmed the TGE event either. So if that happens in Q4, if that happens in Q1, the minute they make a confirmation like, hey, we're dropping the TGE events December 31st, even though Luke is saying that in interviews that people, grifters aren't going to go over there and just start farming, there's going to be a rush of people over there. We're going to see meme coins pop off. We're going to see NFTs pop off. So definitely involve yourself in Abstract. I go in there every single day. I have a couple NFTs that I play games with. I mess around with the prediction markets. I buy and sell and trade memes. And the meme coins over there are a little bit easier to just buy and hold. They don't feel like they're just going to get washed to zero like final boss guy that we were talking about. We're like, how long is this going to go? But we knew that was going to go to zero eventually. a lot of those memes over on Abstract probably aren't going to go to zero, at least the top ones. So, you know, explore Abstract. That's the alpha. I think it's a really interesting chain, and it's going to do well.
I mean, I have nothing to add there other than you guys have tuned in to one of the best crypto rundowns ever, just stop to finish. But that's what you come for. You come for the alpha. So if you enjoyed that, again, if you want specifics on how to interact with Abstract Chain, if you want some more of the guidance and kind of the education that Brian and Joe can offer you specifically around Abstract Chain. And then on top of that, the Ibiza Final Boss is a great example because we talked about it on the show. And then obviously you guys gave out the alerts. And it's like, we tell you kind of we're not like, hey, we're not really going to play in that water. And sure enough, you know, Ibiza Final Boss goes to zero. Pudgy Penguin's been going to the moon, one of your guys' original calls from that group. And so, you know, if that Abstract Chain and getting involved in that type of space sounds really interesting to you, you guys need a team, you need a community, you need the education to really dive into it, to feel comfortable, check out the link below in the description. It's the first link there to join Momentum Moneymakers with Brian and Joe. And then you're going to get literally weekly touch points with them around Abstract Chain and much, much more. So check it out. But moving on, I think that there's a lot of momentum in the markets, both up and down. And kind of like you said, when stuff goes down, the markets trend down, then some of these, you know, high-flying memes might take a little bit of a breather. But I know that you pulled a COPE. This smaller token had some good action that you wanted to talk to, over 150x from when it was bonded. I mean, there's always some gems to pull, which is why, again, we follow your guys' research. But my God, what a pull this was.
Yeah, I full disclosure, I didn't make this call, but I had to put it on the list because it was one of the few meme coins that was like popping off this week. I was like, I have to like dig a little bit deeper into it. So COPE was actually developed, I think it was on Pumped Off Fun, and it was just sitting pretty much idle for 17 months. Like, but the dev kept grinding. And people who put a couple $100 into, maybe a couple thousand, but a couple $100, literally got paid off in six figures. Because just out of nowhere, it bonded. And that means it got to a certain level on Pump.Fun's launch pad and then was released to the open public. And then crypto Twitter kind of found out. And it's a good ticker, COPE. You know, like, and it's a good ticker. And anyone that just held that pre-bonded easily made six figures. You can see it was straight up for a while. This isn't a recommendation to buy. But I just thought the story was so interesting that some people who just made some sprinkles on Pump.Fun are easily in six figures, maybe even millions of dollars.
Wow.
And this dev just kept grinding on the back end, and COPE hit, I think, 15 million market cap. Amazing story. And even when you think those coins are maybe absolutely dead, they can always come back.
Actually, we don't even have this on the sheet. I meant to ask you this. So this is on me as a producer. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it hasn't, since the last time you guys have been on, Pump.Fun has its launch. It lost a little bit of momentum. We were talking about the bonk was kind of taken over a little bit for launching, but isn't Pump.Fun having a little bit of a resurgence?
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, it got initially dumped, I think it has like 92% market share. So it, the chart looks like it's ready to fly, to be honest with you. Market cap is 1.17 billion right now. FDV right around 3.31. So it did take a pretty much of a dump because they airdropped tokens. People sold out. We all knew. We talked about our community. We knew that was going to happen. Now it's starting to break out again, doing pretty well. Pumped Up Fund definitely has the lion's share of opportunity on Launchpad. There's another Launchpad out there that I like called Light. It's only been out for 2 weeks. It has 100% revenue buybacks. Pump.Fun does 97% revenue buybacks. So these revenue-generating tokens that generate a ton of revenue are buying their token and either putting them in some sort of investment or burning them, depending on what platform it is. And that's kind of like a new meta out there. So I like Pump.Fun as an opportunity. The Light token is actually a token I really like and liked. We talked about within our community. It has got hit pretty hard just because the overall market has gotten hit hard. And everyone needs to understand, like, when Bitcoin or Ethereum and Solana, these majors, are taking 10% haircuts on the week, meme coins are going to take an even bigger haircut because it's a more volatile asset. But when they start to pop off, some of these meme coins absolutely start running like we've never even seen. So it's good and bad at the end of the day. But Pumped Up Fun looks pretty good. They're not going anywhere. They're doing these revenue buybacks. I don't hate it where it's at. And there could be this light token. I don't want to get too into it, but I'm like hot and cold about it. If we get a runner, meme coin runner on that platform, that could take some of Pumped Up Fund's market share, because it's hard for me to believe that Pumped Up Fund's going to continue to carry like a 90%+ market share as a launch pad, but it is right now.
Dude, again, just amazing alpha. Let's tee up the final part of the show, because we are kind of coming up on time, but we'll go a little over. We're going to go over it because we love the audience. Absolutely ripping rundown today. The chat's been super active. Again, if you haven't yet, please give it a like and subscribe. Please throw the thumbs up. It really helps us grow the channel. If you haven't, check the logo on the bottom right and subscribe. We really do appreciate it. Here's how we're going to do this. I have 2 points from our sheet, Brian, I'm going to pull up about NFTs. We're going to talk about those for the chat. After you like and subscribe, drop your question in the chat box. We're going to do a couple questions for Brian, and then we're going to wrap up with the Polymarket discussion. So that's going to be another 10, 15 minutes probably left in the rundown. But get your questions in, toss them in the chat box, and we're going to do 2 more NFT topics. We'll hit the questions and then Polymarket. So let's jump into it. Moonbirds are selling, Brian. As much as you say everybody's taking a haircut, as that is true, looks like Moonbirds is still staying really strong.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Some guy, whoever, a Moonbird Maxi, he dumped like 40 Moonbirds on the floor. And that could be the death to some projects, you know, when someone just floods the floor. But they ate through that sale wall. We are down where we were. I think this was up to like a 3.8 ceiling at one point. But they ate through that sell wall, and the activity has been picking up even more and more. I'm actually looking at it right now. We've had multiple sales throughout the 24-hour period. Still a big fan of what Spencer's built with Moonbirds. I'm a Moonbird holder. I got like a picture back there. I think I talk about it every time I'm on this rundown. But I'm a Moonbird holder. I think that they have a plan that could be like a Pudgy Penguin Light, utilizing their IP, getting partnerships. I would not be surprised to see a token drop eventually. And I mean, they're not cheap. I mean, they're still trading for like $13,000 to $15,000 per. There's some alternative collections like the Oddities or the Mythics that aren't nearly as much. But there was a 40 Moonbird sell wall, got eaten into. And like Tyler says, could be some clear skies ahead.
Love that. Yeah, you've been early and often on the Moonbirds. I pulled this up just a minute ago, picking my couple favorite that I wanted to touch on. Give me the full breakdown, because this looks hilarious. I'm all in on this thing. This is not financially, no, not personal financial advice. Just I'm all in on this as a meme. This is hilarious. Nobody sausage. What is this? What a all piece right, so, of artwork.
So if you're part of the Momentum Moneymakers crew, you know I've been kind of talking about Momentum Sausage probably too much. The past couple of weeks, I've been giving people updates on it. It was a call maybe like a month or two ago that right around like 40 million market cap, still not like low, but it's picking up steam, and it has been. And when I say picking up steam, we've seen Gemini, Binance, OpenSea, Coinbase, some Web2 companies utilize this nobody sausage as a meme coin. I don't think I tagged any of these like nobody sausage, but if you look, these major exchanges or major companies are using the meme more and more. If this was January of 2025, this thing would be like $1 billion market cap. So you're and the meme is funny. I gotta be honest. And it's a TikTok meme. I'm actually not a huge TikTok guy, but it has over 22 million followers. It makes me laugh. I can laugh very easily, but its integration there's Binance right there. Binance US. Oh, it's trading live on Binance US. So they've been using it in their memes. Like Gemini used it as in their meme. So it's a super interesting meme coin. I think it's up. We've seen it go up close to $100 million market cap after our call. And then obviously it retraces a little bit, but I'm not even sure what it's at as of today. It's about a $60 million market cap. So still up on when we called it. But just seeing all these companies utilize it, utilize the IP, In your perfect example, TiVo, right when you saw it, you're like, oh God, I have to see. And there's Pudgy Penguins. Like, they're using the Nobody sausage within there. And the artist who did Nobody or Nobody Sausage is like fully embraced it as well. So we're not going to have like some hater come out and like start filing lawsuits. He wants the brand to grow. I love it integrating with a lot of these Web3 and Web2 companies. And it's interesting to me. So every week I've been like kind of like cutting out like 30 seconds of our newsletter, and I'm like a little Nobody Sausage update, because it's kind of a strong meme in my opinion. It checks a lot of boxes for what I'm looking for.
We got a commenter that says TiVo loves the sausage. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's a nice bratwurst with some onions, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big fan. I mean, again, we just went on this Pudgy Penguin rant. I mean, like Pudgy Penguin tweeting out a video with Nobody Sausage. That's kind of I feel like Luke is very involved in everything about Pudgy Penguin. So the fact that they're posting a native video with Nobody Sausage, dare I say, might give a seal of approval of maybe the management and the team behind Nobody Sausage. Would you agree with that, or is that a little too far?
Yeah, I do. What is that right below that? Is that Gemini checking your portfolio in public be like, and they're utilizing the meme? Yeah, I mean, we got Gemini, one of the largest exchanges in the United States, utilizing the IP. I think it has legs. It's going to grind up and grind down for a while, but it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. In a goat comment from whoever wrote, TiVo loves the sausage. That's pretty good. That's like something I would text him and send a picture of this Nobody Sausage. And that's what we want out of memes. They're fun. They're entertaining. They get cult-like communities. There's drawdowns. There's pullbacks all the time in meme coins. Major corrections, and then they bounce back, and they bounce back more. We have over 12,000 holders of it. It's certainly an interesting. I don't have a lot of exposure to it either, so I'm not like pumping my own bags. But I see it all the time on the timeline, and I'm just like, man, there's just something about it that speaks to me. I think it could do well.
Awesome. Let's do some quick hitters from the audience. Let me stop sharing. Our sausage friend will be back. Some quick hitters from the audience here. The first one on Abstract Chain, is it connected to Pudgy Penguin? So the question is it directly connected to Pudgy Penguin?
For sure. For sure. Luca's like heavily involved with it. It's direct. It's like the Pudgy Penguin like blockchain essentially. So yeah, it is. I want to verify what his role is there, but I want to say he's like in the founder of it, or but yeah, they're heavily connected.
Yeah, I think. But then to clarify, it's not like Abstract doesn't have a token yet, correct? So you can't go buy Abstract as like a token,
yeah,
right, Brian?
Yeah,
there's no token.
Yeah, there's no token.
Okay.
That's the
so just
alpha.
Just clarifying for the audience, it's not like don't go buy you can't go buy Abstract, and it's like having a Pudgy is not the same. But the creator of Pudgy Penguins is also on the creator of Abstract on the board, or heavily involved.
Yeah, creator of Abstract. He's heavily involved. He's the one calling all the shots for the TGE event, talking about it in all these interviews. Yeah, there is no Abstract token. If you see an Abstract token, that's an absolute rug fake token. So that's the alpha, is that you go over there and there's tons of free stuff to do. Like, you don't even need money. You need $0 to get involved. And if you do some, if you use money, you can probably get even, but you earn XP points every week. And that will correlate to the token drop, the airdrop. I think the airdrop's going to be fire too. I think it's going to be massive. And it's a good blockchain. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's like these certain games over there that become really addicting. I shout out Myriad as a prediction market. You can literally just go there and collect daily points every day and put predictions like, is Taylor Swift going to be pregnant by the year 2026? And you don't even really care if the prediction's right or wrong, if you're not using real money, but you want to show action on the blockchain. And just like Lucas said in that interview, is like he's going to reward people who are there now. So it's time to get over there, kind of just mess around with the blockchain. And if that's buying meme coins, buying NFTs, if that's just doing free things, there's a lot of ways to get involved. I encourage everyone to check it out.
I think it's a great point. And then last quick question here from Sherelle. With the new possible Doge ETF, do you think it will jump up? Can you guesstimate? Again, we can't give personal financial advice for you and any Doge or Doge ETFs that you may or may not want to buy. My guess is with these flurry, and we're going to have more on this next week with Brendan, because there's just this chart that I found that has all these ETFs, but I'm going to prepare it for next week. So tune in for that. All these ETFs are going to probably come out pretty quickly. I think there's going to be a lot of winners, but I don't think everything's going to fly and have flows. I don't know. I'll give my take, Brian, and I love yours. I don't think Doge is dead by any means. It's the OG dog coin. It's the original. I don't know. I just think there's so much going on. And I think, again, Pudgy Penguins is changing the game. Luca's changing the game of being the face of that franchise to drive value for the community. And Doge, as funny as it is and cultural relevance as it is, I don't think it's going anywhere. But I don't know if some ETF is going to go live and then who's buying that ETF. Like anybody who wants to buy Dogecoin today, I personally believe, in my opinion, can just go download Robinhood as easy as it is to go buy Dogecoin. Whereas the ETF is a vehicle for these hedge funds, big time money managers to go get involved. And I don't see it, dare I say, but that's my take.
It's a super good take, and I have a love-hate relationship with Dogecoin. And with that being said, it's the OG meme coin. There's no denying it. It's super recognizable. We got Elon that's pumped it in the past. It's not going. It's a $31 billion market cap. It's huge. Pudgy Penguin, on the other hand, is a $1.7 billion market cap. And then there's other coins out there that we talk about in our private community that are in the millions. The move for Dogecoin to go from $31 billion market cap to a 2x to a $60 billion market cap is enormous. You're going to need tons of funds. I think the ETF will be positive. You'll see the price go up. People will buy it. I don't think it's going anywhere soon. Personally, I don't buy a ton of Doge because the upside feels like slightly capped for me. It almost feels like too high. I mean, it's a $31 billion market cap. There's almost like other altcoins that I'd rather have, like an Arrow or something, where like I would be like, I could see this 3 or 4xing before I'd ever see Dogecoin 3 or 4xing.
Right.
I could see Pudgy Penguins getting to a $7 billion market cap, which would be like a 4x from where it's at, before Dogecoin could I even consider a 4x. So I think there's like other like opportunities out there, but you also don't have as much downside with Dogecoin as well, because there's like so much money behind it. You're not going to get as major pullbacks. So the short answer is yes, the ETF will be positive for the coin. Price will more likely go up. The upside personally isn't as attractive compared to some other opportunities out there in the meme coin world. If I was going to dedicate some funds to meme coins, I'd probably think outside the box a little bit more. And I'd just allocate like what I would want to do to Dogecoin to like Bitcoin. Because, you know, I like Bitcoin, you know. So that's like my thinking of it at the end of the day.
I like it. I'm on board with it. Last quick one from Alan. How would you buy Pengu? Again, if you want to buy Pengu, it has to be your own decision, not personal financial advice for you. But if you're interested, I think the easiest way, if I'm missing any, would be just Robinhood, right? The easiest way just to download and buy. And then does Coinbase have it?
Binance, Coinbase, Bybit. I believe Gemini has it as well. Mm-hmm. So you can buy Pengu on all these major exchanges. You can check out CoinMarketCap. When you go to the bottom of CoinMarketCap, it kind of gives a list of exchanges. Also, there's ways if you get integrated with the Abstract chain, you could swap for it. They have a swapping feature. You can swap for Pengu on Abstract. I actually do that weekly. Like, I just have like a couple bucks here and there, and I'll just like swap like USDC into Pengu, just like 5-10 bucks to just do something on Abstract to help increase my XP. But yeah, if you want to just buy some Pengu or slowly dollar cost average in, buy it on Robinhood, buy it on Coinbase. There's a lot of avenues there.
Awesome. That is just absolute alpha from top to bottom of our meme coin segment. Thank you, Brian. Again, guys, if we answer your questions and you enjoyed it, I need you to hit the thumbs up. It really helps me as a producer grow the channel. I beg you, we are on the quest for 25,000 subscribers. We are almost there. So please subscribe, hit the notifications. We're doing this all the time. We love you. We answer questions. We bring you alpha. Like, subscribe. Thank you. And again, if you want more meme coin action and you want those deep research reports that are going to give you more information around Abstract, give you those early calls like Pudgy Penguins, check the description. It's the first link to get some more information to join Brian and Joe's private community, Momentum Moneymakers. Now for our last topic. Last topic, but it's a big one. We might have to cut this to 10 minutes. We'll put a 10-minute timer on it. We're already at an hour six, but we're going to go longer for you guys that are still with us. We really appreciate you tuning in. And it's around the prediction markets. So let me give a quick rundown here of why we are excited about prediction markets, guys. The prediction market mind share is there's so many of them. You heard him talk about Polymarket, Kalshi, you've seen their AI ads, Myriad, you've heard Brian talk about it. All these other ones, they're just growing. It's this new fascination on the internet, and it's been nonstop since the election, right? And then now you'll see Kalshi. Share this tab. Kalshi's strategic move to integrate crypto and prediction markets, a fintech crypto hybrid poised for dominance. Interesting article at AI Invest, but Kalshi hires a head of crypto. And then this week, to put another topping on this prediction market Sunday, is Donald Trump Jr.'s VC firm buys into Polymarket. So he bets on Polymarket. He invests in Polymarket. He is now a strategic investor. And again, what have we told you at this episode? Keep the politics out of this, of this specific person, but the people that are in charge of one of the biggest, you know, the strongest and biggest economy of the world are pro crypto. And this crypto administration, they've done more in 6-7 months that's happened in the last 10 years, in my opinion. And they're all in on crypto. And now you're starting to see them sneak in the back door of the prediction markets. And again, you're seeing Kalshi hire a head of crypto. Donald Trump Jr. is investing in prediction markets. He's also running a crypto project. So like, yo, we're playing hockey, Brian. It's not where the puck is. Where's the puck going? And I think that's part of the excitement that me and you both share for prediction markets. So again, kind of just tee the people up of what you're seeing. And kind of, we can talk about the both that pop culture aspect to it, and then lead us into the crypto part of it as we break this all down.
Yeah. So like, pretty much what I do in this whole crypto space is follow like the momentum, where the puck's going. I've been in prediction markets around the election. And I wasn't just like using it to like wager on who the next vice president was going to be. I actually used it as a source of news, because people put money where their mouth is. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, you always hear like, this person's good. We polled 1,000 people. You're like, I never got polled. But even the New York Times, the New York Times was utilizing Polymarket as like, this is the odds for Trump versus Kamala. You were in the New York Times Square and you saw ads for Kalshi and Polymarket. Prediction markets are going nowhere. This is coming from a guy that worked multiple years at DraftKings. Shout out DraftKings. Love the sports book and everything they're building over there. But they only have jurisdiction to 21 states for sports betting. Polymarket, which is not... You need a VPN. I know you need a VPN to utilize Polymarket right now, but they're launching in the United States. You go on their website, the upper left-hand corner is this little American flag. We're coming soon. They're launching sports betting or sports prediction in all 50 states. I scratch my head because I'm like, wait a minute, DraftKings only has like jurisdiction in 26 states. Yep. How the heck did they get 50? So kind of digging a little bit deeper into that. So prediction markets, where I'm going with this, are going nowhere. Tons of people on crypto Twitter are talking about it. It's kind of like the new meta out there. I love it. I think prediction markets, I go over there not even to just like predict or wager. I go over there to just like see what's popping off. Like, what are people thinking? You could go everything from sports to, is the Fed going to cut the BIPs rate to, which is actually an interesting trade, because like leading right now is 25 BIPs in September, but like 50 BIPs is like, gives you, I'm like, it could be 50 BIPs, you know?
Right.
But then you could predict in crypto, sports, pop culture, all sorts of stuff. And Kalshi is legal in the United States. So you can go to Kalshi, deposit with a credit card, bank. This is not an endorsement to do that, but it is legal. But it's taking the world by storm. Kalshi is not on the blockchain. It does not use blockchain technology, but I thought that was really interesting that they hired a new head of crypto. We can start to see them migrate over and start to flirt with crypto a lot more. Polymarket utilizes Polygon. There have been rumors that they could do a token eventually. Not calling that out officially, but I would not be surprised. And then Myriad's over on Abstract, again, Alpha over there. They're probably going to have a token. You go over there, you can do stuff for free, and you're going to double farm Myriad and Abstract. Really cool sites. I love going over there. I think it's a complete new meta. I want to talk about Polymarket. I want to talk about it for 2 hours, to be completely honest with you, because I go deep into that rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I think when we're talking about big events like the election or rate cuts, there's a key, because you can go on these sites and you can find kind of action on anything. And the more niche you go, the less market cap, the less betting, the less pool of wagers there are. And so the smaller the pool or the more abstract idea that you're betting on, you got to be a little careful because, you know, how do these bets get closed out if this idea is very, you know, pun intended, I guess, abstract? When you start to kind of what you said, when people are putting money where their mouth is, that's why the election one was so important, because, I mean, we were talking about hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, a total that were bet on in these prediction markets, you know, if you pooled them all together. And so that can kind of, again, get you to feel like, hey, where this is what people really think is going to happen compared to some poll from UMich that polls, you know, the same, you know, 150 people every year. It's like it's a new world, and I think that it pairs, and that's my point, is it's a new world, and that's what pairs so well with crypto, is like, okay, the traditional finance system, and again, we've seen crypto kind of be this underdog and, you know, black sheep for so long, and now look, crypto and TradFi are literally walking step in step together, in my opinion, today compared to 5-10 years ago. And so with this prediction market, when it first came out, it's not legal in the United States. We can't do it. We're using VPNs. Now Kalshi, I told you I got some action on Kalshi this week for who's going to be the next Federal Reserve chair. Yeah. I put some action on it. I was like, why not? And then people forget, but Robinhood has a full predictions market. They don't have as many options as Kalshi, but they did the Super Bowl. I put some action on the Super Bowl. I did college basketball, the March Madness tournament. So huge competition for DraftKings and FanDuel, because I as a sports bettor, you as well, went shopping around for odds. You know, some sports book offer better odds, and so, you know, you can shop around and find the best, and some of the better odds were actually on the prediction markets. And, you know, there's many ways to do it. You can gamble. You can try to find kind of alpha. You can try to hedge. Like, I'm looking at the prediction markets for Fed cut in September, 80% cut 25 bips, and then 20% no cut. So everybody thinks there's a cut. Now, you know, you could hedge in a many different ways, right? You could sell calls. You could buy volatility. But, you know, you got to do your own research and do your own numbers. But maybe you want to buy this contract that the Fed's not going to do anything. And that's not even what you necessarily believe, but you're going to hedge it because, you know, you can do 20 cents on the dollar. You can turn 20 cents into a dollar. And then that could be your hedge, because, you know, if he doesn't cut, the market's going to react to the downside. So that would be your hedge. So there's a lot of different ways here, and there's a lot of fun stuff too. I know that the a Polymarket trader made 50K betting on the Taylor Swift engagement. I've yet to see that if this was Jason Kelce, Travis's brother, who put this bet on. But there's a lot of stuff that, again, as crypto traders and as people who are on the forefront of, I think being a crypto trader and a crypto believer means that you're on the forefront of technology. And I think that this is a technology, these betting markets, that are only going to grow and that are only going to get bigger. And so, you know, it's something that we're going to be watching for you. And, you know, if it's something that people like, drop it in the comments, whether it's Spotify or YouTube. If you guys want more information around prediction markets, me and Brian can try and, you know, push for that and do some more information on it. But Brian, what's the number one thing that you might be looking for either today that's available or in the future that would be more tied to crypto for alpha?
Well, what's juicy right now? You talked about the Fed decision in September. 50 bips. If you put $20 on that, you win $444. I know it's like, I don't know if we're going to get that, but there's some real interesting opportunities there. And there's arbitrage opportunities, like you were saying, that these markets, the prediction markets, do not react nearly as quick as the options trading and things along those lines. So you can, for an example, when Powell was giving a speech in Jackson Hole and the price of Bitcoin started running up, you could have ran over to a lot of these prediction markets and put a wager on the Bitcoin price going up over 111, 112,000 because it did not react. It only moves with money flowing in. So there's like, if you're on top of it, you can make some serious money in arbitrage. I haven't personally done it, but like I was kind of kicking myself when I was watching the Powell Street live. And I was like, and then I went over to Polymarket. I was like, wait, is this like broken? And then, you know, like 15 minutes later, it adjusted. But I had like a 15-minute window there to really get some arbitrage. And again, even if you're not wagering, you can just have some fun on a lot of these things to see where, like Taylor Swift pregnant in 2025. It's a 13% chance. I don't know. Maybe that's why they got engaged, TiVo. There is a real world there that's like seems underpriced. $100 wins you 800. It's paying 8 to 1. I'm not telling anybody to do that, but there's some really interesting opportunities for everyone, and there's something for everyone. Like, no joke, I was telling my mom about Polymarket because she's like, what do you do for work? Like, she thinks I work for Bitcoin. I was like telling her about prediction sites, and she's like, let me do it. And she's like trying to show me on her iPad, and she saw the Ukraine-Russia ceasefire, and she's not the biggest Donald Trump fan. So she's like, there's no way that's happening, you know, and she's like messing with it and like calling out different political events on there. And then I talked to her a couple of days ago. She's like, I go to the website every day to just see what's happening. I go, yeah, it's an interesting website. The alpha is, I'm just going to go back, is that you can do a lot of things like on Myriad. If you're in the United States, you can do the points and just get some XP, get some opportunities to farm over there. Kalshi is super interesting. I think it's going to be I think it's already a new meta. I think a lot of meme coin traders are floating over to the prediction websites because there's a slight edge over here in a lot of ways. So especially when you're on top of your certain sector, if that's politics, sports, crypto, tech, whatever it is, I just love kind of peeling through it every single day. And, you know, that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's alpha there for many different things, especially if you're somebody that is attuned to the news and you're getting the alerts. And I know a lot of our listeners aren't those people because that's why they come to us, right? We come to inform them. So, you know, again, it's probably something that's definitely not for everybody, but overall, it can be a tool in your toolkit to, again, plan your trades, trade your plans, and kind of add it to the toolkit of how you look at the investing world or just the world in general for information. Like your mom said, the news flow is interesting there, where, again, you're seeing where people are putting money to their opinions, not just shouting them out on many different, you know, social medias and news channels and all that. But that's going to wrap us up. I think we just set the record for the biggest, longest rundown. So, guys, if you enjoyed Brian, again, one final call for all the people interested in getting the alpha around Abstract Chain, Pudgy Penguins, and all the meme coins, NFTs. The Momentum Moneymakers link is in the description. It's the first one. Check it out for Brian and Joe. And then for us, if you enjoyed this episode and you enjoy the free content, I just ask you one final time, give us a thumbs up. It helps us grow the channel. Please subscribe. We have tons of free content. We're going to have a bunch more next week. We do have Labor Day on Monday, like I said last show, so we're not going to be here Monday. But we'll see what happens over the weekend. Maybe we bring Brian and Joe back next week. We'll definitely have one with Brendan. You know, check our Twitter and YouTube community to post when and see when the lives are going to be. We really appreciate you guys joining us this Friday afternoon, and I hope you all have a great weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day, and we'll see you next week.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.